Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta.
I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today two guests, Professor Joseph Aignan and Dr. Claire Vassallo. Just a brief word about these two academics. Professor Aignan is head of the Department of Translation and Interpreting Studies. After obtaining his BA honours and MA in Italian, in 1971 he was awarded his doctoral degree at the University of Florence. When he joined the University of Malta in the late 70s, he was appointed to teach methodology related to the teaching of Italian as a foreign language within the Faculty of Education. In 1987, he joined the Department of Italian within the Faculty of Arts and was several times head of this Italian department. In 2003, he founded the Department of Translation and Interpreting Studies, something completely new within the university, and this was within the Faculty of Arts. The department offers postgrads, diploma and master's courses in translation and interpreting, and I'm sure he'll tell us more about that during the interview. The department has obviously established several international links, which, again, we'll be hearing about. Professor Aignan was awarded the title of Cavaliere della Repubblica Italiana by the President of the Italian Republic, His Excellency Azeglio Ciampi. Author of a number of books on the Italo-Maltese literature and textbooks for students reading Italian as a foreign language, he has published various articles in scholarly journals. Dr. Vassallo graduated from the University of Malta with BA in Philosophy and English Literature with Linguistics, and a BA Honours in English with Linguistics. She pursued her interest in the interface between these three areas at the Istituto di Comunicazione, Università degli Studi di Bologna in Italy, where she obtained her doctorates in semiotics under the tutorship, no less, of Professor Umberto Eco. The emphasis of her research was in the field of semiotics as literary and cultural theory and as cognitive process. At present, Dr. Vassallo is senior lecturer in English and Translation Studies here at the university. She is the co-editor of The Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx's Legacy to Humanity, published in 2003. She has co-edited a study on cultural memory for the Akume Thematic Network Project, Malta at War in Cultural Memory, Representations of the Madonna's Chosen People, which brings together studies on various forms of remembering World War II. That was in 2005. She's currently jointly editing and translating a selection of essays for the University of Toronto Press on semiotics and translation. Dr. Vassallo is on the board of the English-speaking Union and is a member of the University Faculty of Arts Committee for MA Matters. And she is a former chairman of the Public Broadcasting Services. That was quite a longish brief word. However, I like to introduce my guests because I think it's important that listeners know where you're coming from, so to speak. You've both got very interesting academic backgrounds, and I think it's important and relevant to the subject about which we're going to speak. Welcome to you both, first of all. I think it's important, Professor Aignan, perhaps to give a little bit of a brief history of the department. As I said in the introduction, it was something completely new for the University of Malta.
Definitely. With Malta's entry into the EU, the department, the Faculty of Arts, realized that we do not have enough translators and interpreters to work in EU institutions. So that was the idea behind setting up this department. We have to go back to the year 2003, when the course was introduced as an evening course, as a part-time course, and the first course had translation and interpreting studies together. Then after contacts with foreign universities and foreign institutions, we realized that these are two separate areas. So the following year, we set up a course only for interpreters and a course just for translators. The department then was set up. Once the department was set up, the older courses were transferred in the morning for the morning sessions. It is a taught course. It is a taught MA master's course. We don't have any undergraduate courses. It is just a postgraduate course. Our students who follow both courses, interpreting or translation, they come from different backgrounds, and that is a policy of the department. Not only a policy of the department, but it comes from EU institutions. So even an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer can join our courses.
I noticed recently there was a lawyer who's published a book about interpreting
sure.
within a court context.
Yes,
so
Dr. Gabrielle Torpiano, who just published her thesis, her master's thesis on court interpreting in Malta, is
an example of that.
Example, even a novelty in that area. No such thing has ever been published on court interpreting in Malta. So that publication is a witness even to the work we're doing within the department. Well, yes, as I was saying, then the department was set up. It was set up even thanks to the previous university rector, Professor Roger Rumicaldef, and the present rector, Professor Camilleri, who believed in this course, and who gave us the go-ahead to set up this department, who at the moment has four members of staff, full-time members of staff, for translation studies, and one full-time member of staff in the interpreting, plus two other part-time. So the department is growing. Well, as I was saying, the course caters for translators and interpreters. It is a young department in the sense that it has been established since 2003, so it is relatively young. And this means it's a hard job for us to show on campus that it is a well-established academic area, both of them. Unfortunately, people still think that translation, locally I mean, not abroad, locally they think translation is, you know, when you go on Google and there is on the right hand, you just click Google translate this page and you can translate it. Fortunately, it's not that we're doing, but we still have to establish, I think, and convince the local academics and the local staff of the Faculty of Arts that translation studies is really an academic subject, as it is in different, as it is in various UK universities. I mentioned like Westminster, Leeds, Edinburgh, or Geneva in Switzerland, or France, and so on and so forth. So at the moment we're still, I think, finding our place within the faculty and doing our best to promote research, promote innovation, promote contacts. At the beginning, perhaps the aim of the department was to furnish, to produce, but perhaps produce is a bit an awkward word, but in this world of marketing, we are all producing, to produce translators and interpreters for EU institutions. Now that we've surpassed that, that means that there are the number of translators and interpreters is quite high working abroad. Most of our graduates leave immediately the island and find work as translators or interpreters with the Commission, with the Council, with the Court of Justice, and so on and so forth.
What about your facilities here at the university? I mean, I know that you have obviously this a centre where where they can exercise their skills, but is it enough? Do we need some more?
Resources are never enough. But thank God, even thanks to the EU structural funds and thanks to EU funding and Erasmus programs, for the interpreting section we have a full-equipped state-of-the-art interpreting lab, and we're always improving on it. For translators, we still don't have what we would like to have, a dedicated room for translators with their own computers, with their own terminology software and terminology databases, their databases where they can work during the day. At the moment, we just book the computer facilities. But again, the whole university converges on that point.
So you've got competition for space.
Yeah, competition for space and for students to work in an environment that is conducive, very conducive to their area of specialization. Luckily, we even managed, as from this year, to find a placing for our students and with a local translation company, and this company employs Maltese translators. So they're going to have as well practical. They will be on practice in the summer months for a brief period before they go in the real outside there in the real world. So they would have a practicum session, and this is the first time we'll be doing that. So it's a department
in crescita.
In crescita, as the good Italians say.
Yes. Perhaps I can turn to Dr. Vassallo here. The buzzword networking, links, contacts with foreign institutions. Why and how are you managing to do that within the department?
Well, translation studies and interpreting studies, but I focus mainly on translation, is a very multifaceted sort of discipline. There's a very practical side, which we're working on even locally, linking and networking with local companies, as Professor Senor just said, to provide students with placements. This is part of the requisite for the European Master's degree in translation, that there is a practical side, a hands-on experience, because we have, you know, very strong links with all EU institutions, and one of our original aims was to produce and provide students who are trained in translation skills to work in Brussels and Luxembourg, in Parliament and Council and all the other bodies. But that's not all. That's just one side. Practical, also theoretical. There's a lot of theory involved. It's not a question. You don't just move from one language to the other as though, you know, every word had its equivalent. It certainly doesn't. There's a process of thinking and working through. It becomes instinctive, so often the process is hidden. And we, who live with two languages anyway, do it all the time. But it doesn't mean that there's nothing to it. There's you know, interesting stuff happening there on a sort of language and thinking and cultural level. The other side is this thinking and studying about the cultural background, the role translation has played in the spread of culture globally. I mean, we use buzzwords like, you know, globalization and multilingualism and multiculturalism. These don't exist without translation. English does play a role as a global language, of course. But, you know, you wouldn't read Dante if somebody hadn't translated him. Shakespeare wouldn't be the giant globally if he weren't accessible in other languages. Translation has played a role in the communication of culture throughout our history. But it's a role that is often invisible. We often read translated texts as though they were the original, not wanting to perhaps accept that it's not quite what, you know, Don Quixote originally sounded like, or, you know, we work with translation, forgetting this link. And there are reasons for that. In the publishing world, for instance, it was often texts that sounded as though they were written in the target language were preferred. So, you know, the style hid the features of the original, the flavor. Anyway, so all of this is all themes that we look at in our courses to try and bring to the fore the role that translation has played. So we're working against that notion of invisibility, showing the hand of the translator as an interpreter, as somebody who is manipulating and changing and working with the text. We look at you know, various departments where you're studying literature and language, and we look at the role of the critic and the interpreter and the commentator. There is no closer reader of a text than a translator. And an interpretation or a translation of a text, you know, has a literary and, it has an academic side to it. That is really, really interesting. So there's all of that. But the links we have, therefore, are also of the academic type. Institutions such as universities we've mentioned, Lesseus, Westminster, Warwick, these are all on the Erasmus programme. And we encourage our students to take these sort of exchanges as well. Apart from those, we have we encourage a lot of internships with the institutions for those who want to emphasize the more sort of concrete practical side. But there's a lot of scope for both the practical and the academic theoretical, and a lot of scope in publishing. Not only, so already, as we've said, we attract postgraduate students. So these are already people who've worked through a degree, they're capable, they know how to do things and how to write and research. There's a lot that is still to be written about translation and about translation locally. It's this need to translate, to work with Maltese, has brought a new dawn to the Maltese language. It's being stretched in a way that it hasn't been in a very long time. Whether people adopt all these phrases and words that our students are coming up with through their terminology work is an open question. But I think what it does is it provides the option. And there are styles. Sometimes you don't need the full, perhaps, Maltese form, because in a meeting you'll switch to the English terms you're used to. But if you're writing, then you need to be uniform. So there's still a role. It's not always obvious, but at least the language is stretching to cover these areas. So we have courses in semantics, pragmatics, in semiotics, in terminology. For instance, we spoke about Google, translate this page. There's a lot of work before you can translate this page.
Exactly. I mean, it's not easy at all.
and people in IT depend on the sort of insights from the study of semantics, the study of pragmatics, how to communicate what you haven't actually said by tone of voice. How do you do that on a computer program? You know, there's a lot of interface. So as a area of study, it links to so many others. And it's time, and this isn't not just locally, but this is an international phenomenon, that translation is becoming visible, and its links with everything that's happening around us is becoming more pronounced. This is something we need to work on here, because the notion, it seems, is that translation is just practical. Not at all. It's a fascinating area of study.
When I was doing a little bit of research for this, these interviews this morning, I thought about the people I've interviewed in the last few months, and I can think of, without just off the top of my head, I can think of five interviews where really translation has been the main topic of conversation, on more than one occasion. For example, I think of the interview that I had with Mike Rosner. Who had visitors from abroad, and they were discussing exactly this, the cognitive processes, that the links that there have to be between your side of things and the computer side of things, so that there has to be this meeting, because even though Google translations are not going to be as sophisticated as obviously if translating a book, they still have to be correct. Mm-hmm. And this was something we discussed. I can think of talking to David Crystal, Professor Crystal. I had a Spanish professor as well whose name escapes me right now. Last week I was interviewing Professor Tomaiolo about the translating of Camilleri.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, this is a subject that is keep cropping up again and again and again. So I can imagine that there's a lot of work going on. What about, I mean, you have your own personal research, obviously, your own particular interests, which then I suppose you can then give, you have something to give then through your research to the department. Professor Enyo.
Well, we have a good number of publications at the moment. I mean, the department is only about 6 years old, but we have quite a good number of publications. For example, a dictionary online on economical and financial terms by Carlo Farrugia. Besides being a dictionary, I mean in paper form, there's even a dictionary online on economical and financial matters. And this is something completely new for the department, that I think even for Malta as well. And it's a good tool for translators. Then we have another dictionary edited by Professor Briffa on dictionary for specific purposes.
In fact, with Professor Briffa, there was another interview as well that I did where we also spoke about translation, so that's another one.
We mentioned as well the court interpreting and There's another interesting publication by one of our ex-students on terminology, on human rights terminology. So, besides other publications by the academic staff. Lately, for example, I've published my first course book for interpreters, the models and strategies for the Maltese interpreter. And this, I mean, it's the experience I get with my students. Well, as Dr. Valsala has been saying, I mean, we're working in this line of research and publication. I think our department, so far, we did really our best, and I think it's quite a success story.
What are you working on right now, Dr. Valsala?
Well, I'm trying to work on this book. I'm trying to close it on semiotics and translation, because semiotics being my original field and translation, what I'm working on now, I mean, the interface is huge. They're practically the same thing because they're both dealing with interpreting. And so I'm trying, you know, to bring this work together and get it published. But apart from that, there are always other projects happening on the side. And one of the things I'm working with a local publisher is to try and encourage translation of Maltese literature into English and get it, you know, not exported as so much, but get it known.
Give it a wider audience.
Yes, a readership, because it's important to write in Maltese. This is, you know, our language identity. We don't need to go there. But the readership is extremely limited. Now, if something is written in Malta and it is Maltese, it doesn't make it less so if it's translated into English. We read Spanish literature in English, read Italian literature in English. So I don't think it's sort of betraying the Malteseness of what is being written, but it will get our writers known and perhaps get them bigger contracts and you know, start to have more sort of professional people who can dedicate themselves to writing. Being so small in everything we do, we're always amateur footballers, actors, writers, because we have to do another job. Perhaps, you know, if we had to launch, and if we were lucky enough to launch one or two writers internationally, then perhaps they could start getting the bigger contracts. And, you know, there is a percentage of publications in all the big companies that are works in translation. It's not the biggest part, but they're always looking for that, you know, 5-10%.
Well, perhaps one of the key words I think you mentioned then was professionalism. I mean, this is really, I think, Professor Nyo, something that you are seeking through this department for both interpreting studies and translation, that the students should be coming in already at a certain level, being postgraduates, to create a professionalism to avoid some of the pitfalls that cropped up at the beginning of the history of interpreting studies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or interpreting, anyway.
Yeah, that's a story now, dead and buried.
Dead and buried. Yes.
In fact, the amount of translated documents is enormous. I think I'm it's over. I think 80,000 pages of text translated every year. So it's a big industry. But going back to what I said at the beginning, when our students are selected, because they have to go through an aptitude test, when they are selected, they must be competent in Maltese and they must be very fluent in Maltese and English, besides a third language. It could be French, it could be Spanish, it could be Italian. The problem we are facing at the moment is that the students we recruit, certain language deficiencies, if I may call them that way, especially to have a third language, a passive third language. When I say passive, it means either from Italian into Maltese or French into Maltese. We're having trouble there. So I think the Faculty of Arts should strengthen more its languages department and focus as well not only on literary and linguistic studies but focuses as well on the language component, so that when we recruit students coming from the languages department, we have a wider selection of students who are fluent in at least three languages, which are the basic requisites to be an interpreter or a translator with the EU institutions.
And beyond that, we're finding problems with the level of English, which has deteriorated.
So very
Maltese is fine, doing well, but our young people are not confident in their English-speaking skills at all. They read and they write well enough, sometimes very well, but they're not confident in speaking. They have... Their language isn't up to date. When they come to face, they presume they have the language until they're put in the situation and realize they don't actually quite, when it comes to interpreting, they're having problems in passing the English exam. And in translation, they don't always understand what they're reading because they don't have the feel for the language anymore. It's lost. And this is a great pity. In a country which had the asset that the whole world is paying lots of money for, and we've let it go.
Yes, I suspect that this could be the subject of another interview. Thank you both very much, Professor Joseph Hénon and Dr. Claire Vassallo, for coming to talk to us about translation and interpreting studies. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.